The Associated Press is reporting that at least four people have died in Haiti as hundreds of UN troops stormed a poor neighborhood outside Port-au-Prince yesterday. The neighborhood, Cité Soleil, has become a center for people loyal to the elected government of President Jean-Bertrand Aristide, who was removed from power in a U.S.-backed coup in February. Mr. Aristide is now in exile in South Africa, while the elected Prime Minister and head of the Senate are imprisoned, along with possibly hundreds of other supporters of the ousted government. And just hours ago, Reuters has reported that soldiers involved with the coup have taken control of Aristide's former compound, supposedly without sanction of the UN forces or the unelected government of appointed Prime Minister Gerard Latortue. Canada has been involved with the coup in the subsequent whitewashing from the beginning. Just this past Saturday, Latortue was in Montreal to meet with Martin and ranking Liberal MPs Pierre Pettigrew, Denis Paradis, and Denis Coderre, Martin's special advisor on Haiti. Joining us from Ottawa now to give his take on these events and also on Canada's role is Jean Saint-Ville. He's the Canadian spokesperson for the Haiti Lawyers Leadership Network and calls himself a peace with justice activist. Hello, Mr. Saint-Ville.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for agreeing to come on the show. Let me ask you first, what's the significance of the UN operations yesterday?
Well, it means that we are now entering a new stage where the UN soldiers on the ground are going to be actively participating at the forefront of the effort to, as they say it, even the playing field. That is, to get rid of a whole lot of the supporters of the Lavalas party so that by the time we reach the next election, the U.S. puppets can have a chance of winning the selection by that time.
Now, a question that has to be asked is why are there United Nations troops there at all? From certainly any objective standpoint, what we saw was a coup d'etat. Why have the United States gone into presumably legitimize a government that by the Constitution of Haiti should in fact have no legitimacy?
Well, because we're living in a very strange time. It's Nelson Mandela this year earlier who said that we live in a time where the powerful nations that call themselves democracies use multinational organizations to advance their own agendas against the peoples of the poorest countries of the world. And not only is it odd that the United Nations soldiers are there, but they actually went in there. There was a resolution signed the day of the coup. Whereas when the terrorists were coming from the Dominican Republic, burning police station after police station, we didn't see any of the so-called friends of Haiti make any effort to protect the constitutional government. The day of the coup, not only did we have soldiers from the United States, Canada, and France entering Haiti, but yesterday in the speeches by the interviews that the Prime Minister gave, for the first time, Prime Minister Paul Martin confirmed that it was Canadian soldiers who were actually securing the Haiti's airport while the American Marines themselves went inside of President Aristide's house and escorted him to a U.S. airplane and then took him to the Central African Republic. For over 24 hours, people didn't know where President Aristide was. He himself, when he finally, a phone was smuggled to him through the actions of black activist Randall Robinson, he informed the world that during the whole trip, he didn't even know where he was. Of course, we saw all the gymnastics that the United States and France made when President Aristide was to be reunited with his two daughters in Jamaica. Jamaica was threatened. You're basically living in a different time. And I always remind people when they're surprised to hear that the United Nations and Canada are participating in this coup d'etat, that this is the very same year where we learn that the Prime Minister of England was spying on the Secretary General of the United Nations, and nobody was surprised to hear about it. And we hear of all kinds of rumors of corruption at the United Nations itself, or all kinds of things. So we are living in a time where people who are assuming leadership in rich countries and in institutions that are supposed to be respected clearly show to us that they don't deserve the respect that they've been bestowed upon.
You mentioned some of the troops that are currently in Haiti, but there are a number of other countries involved. Some people will be surprised that some of the countries involved supported of the coup, or at least with UN troops in Haiti right now.
Yeah, well, there's Haiti has become some kind of a guinea pig for everybody to do their experiments. Because as you know, there's no army in Haiti. So people are lining up to go to Haiti, you know, everybody who couldn't go to Iraq because there's actually a real danger in Iraq wants to go to Haiti in order to make friends with George Bush. And right after the French-American accolade to overthrow President Aristide, relationship between Chirac and Bush began to warm up. But you also have Brazil.
Yeah.
Brazil is trying to get a seat at the UN Security Council, and Haiti is the port door of entry for Brazil to play like a giant in Latin America at the diplomatic front. And Canada has not hidden that it has these ambitions of showing itself as a player on the international scene. Unfortunately for the people of Haiti, that means that Canada is willing to be collaborating with convicted criminals such as Jean Tatoun, Guy Philippe, who the Washington Post was informing the world as early back as 2002 that these were CIA recruits who are involved in drug trafficking while they were working with the DEA and all of these organizations that are supposed to be fighting against drug trafficking, but that are actually using drug money to conduct coups in Haiti. That's the kind of world we're living in right now. And unfortunately, we are seeing very little objective reporting in the mainstream media about what is actually happening. Very few people realize that the legal prime minister is actually in jail. The head of the Senate, right now, we are functioning without a parliament, and Haiti is a parliamentary democracy. And he's in jail. The head of the Senate is in jail. And you have Denis Coderre going to Haiti, standing up with the unelected prime minister and claiming that the guy told him that there's no political prisoners in Haiti. Whereas this is not a matter of opinion. It's either the man is in jail or he's not. You go in there and there's the list of leaders of the party that are in jail, as well as impoverished people who continue to defiantly demand that they respect the fact that they went to the poll and elected not only a president, but a number of officials for different times, types of mandates, but the president was for 5 years, which is why the people have been extending their hand, showing their five fingers. This is that, you know, 5 years is what we invested in this democracy for. We don't accept the coup.
Before we get into Canadian involvement, and we do want to get into that later on in the show, I did want to ask you a little bit about Brazil, because this frankly surprised me from a country that is widely considered to be a progressive country with a progressive president to be involved in Haiti in the way that it is involved. Do you know of any pressures from other progressive nations in South America, or do you know of any pressures that are you putting specifically any pressures on the Brazilian government to withdraw?
Well, there's been a lot of pressure. Like rights groups have written to President Lula. There has been groups inside of Brazil on the left who have openly criticized Lula and asked him to withdraw from Haiti. But like I said earlier, there are deals being made, and Lula himself was under fire in Brazil, because as soon as he was elected, he began to implement a lot of right-wing policies that the left were very surprised to see him implement in Brazil, because, as you know, the Brazil is a rich country, but the Brazilians are not necessarily rich. You have a great disconnect between what the country has as riches and what the vast majority of Africans living in Brazil have access to. And in many regards, the situation in Brazil, in terms of the disparity between rich and poor, is very similar to what's happening in Haiti. And we've been hearing some very disturbing things. There were reports just a couple of weeks ago that the former members of the former army that President Aristide disbanded back in 1994 and who were trained in the Dominican Republic, and now it's confirmed that they were supported by the CIA. You even have U.S. congressmen like John Conyers, you have Maxine Waters. All of these people are confirming that the United States did participate in this coup by training the former military while they were for 2 years in the Dominican Republic training for this coup. Some of their own leaders actually mentioned that a man who was in Montreal named Arslan, who has ties with, who claims to have ties with our Minister of Foreign Affairs, Pierre Petitgrou, boasted about the fact that, you know, they've been in Dominican Republic training for this coup for over 2 years with help from the CIA. Now, we hear that these military people have been taking as a habit now to just have drive-by shootings against street children in Haiti. And as you know, this is something that happens quite often in the large cities of Brazil. And some people have speculated that there might be a connection between the fact that Brazil is now leading the military contingents in Haiti right now and the fact that the Haitian military is using street children as target for their practice.
We're running out of time, and I did want to get to a couple questions, and the first of which is, why are the nations of the world going to so much effort, and this is the first of many efforts, to control Haiti? Why, and particularly it's the United States government, why are they so intent on Haiti, both historically and now in this specific case, in your opinion?
Well, currently, Haiti is being used as control. That Haiti is where you have the lowest wages in the whole hemisphere, okay? So if you want to be continuing to exploit poor people all over the place in North America to make clothing, to make electronic assembly equipment or whatever for less than 60 cents a day, you need to have a place where this is the bottom line. And if workers start complaining in Honduras, you just take the plant to Haiti. You can threaten them about that. That's one of the ideas. There's also this idea that, you know, people talk about Haiti as if there's nothing there, it's a rock. It's not true. There's companies like Saint-Geneviève that are digging gold and copper in Haiti as we speak today. All right? And the people that are working to dig that gold are getting paid, you know, zilch. It's not as if there's nothing in there for people to take in Haiti. But there's also the fact that Haiti is right beside Cuba. And there are a lot of people who are speculating that Baby Bush is preparing during his second mandate to actually attack Fidel Castro. And while you are inside of Haiti, you can see houses in Cuba. And Haiti would nicely help the United States if they have a military base there, as they have tried many times before, to circle Cuba from all sides. You know, they can get Cuba from Miami, but also if they have a base in Haiti, which has been refused for many times. But in terms of Canada, Canada wants to play at the table at the international level. And they organized a meeting here in January 2003 where no representative of the government of Haiti was invited. And Denis Paradis called that meeting. And just the other day, the current Canadian ambassador to Haiti, Mr. Claude Boucher, confirmed to a group of Haitians here in Ottawa that he attended that meeting of January 2003, where Michel Vastel confirmed that the decision was that Aristide must go, Haiti should be put under UN tutelage, and that there would be a return of the disbanded army. Of course, the ambassador denied all of that, but if anybody goes to the website, focal.ca, focal.ca, they will see this NGO that prepared a document for the for DFAT, the Department of Foreign Affairs, and point blank, they mention exactly what Michel Vastel had reported as early back as 1 year before the coup, that is, putting Haiti under UN tutelage. And of course, we all know that when we say the UN now, we're really talking about the United States and its client organizations. And I think Canadians should be outraged that right now Parliament Hill is being used as an office of the State Department. Our foreign affairs policy should not be determined in Washington unless there are people who just assume or who accept that it doesn't matter what crimes that our government participate in as long as it's far enough away or that, you know, the people that are involved, that are being killed, are not considered adult enough to have their own government. As an African-Canadian, I cannot accept that my country, the Canada, is now practicing a foreign policy which, for all intents and purposes, looks like a KKK-inspired foreign policy. Because don't forget, all the 52 nations of the African Union refuse to accept the puppet government. The CARICOM nations refuse to recognize the puppet government. The Congressional Black Caucus, activists and actors like Danny Glover, all of these people refuse to accept this puppet Uncle Tom government that they have established in Haiti. And we have our Prime Minister of Canada posing with this guy, as we saw shamelessly in Montreal the other day.
Well, hopefully soon we'll see more acts of genuine solidarity coming from the Canadian people. Monsieur Saint-Ville, we are out of time, but we will encourage people to get involved and get active and take on their government in order to make these things happen. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. And please, please continue to do this. Get informed. There's a lot of stuff happening out there that we are not proud of as Canadians.
We were just speaking with Jean Saint-Ville. He is a Haitian-Canadian and an activist with the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network.